Raven, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Grab your phone and go through your camera roll.
Okay.
I want you to look at all your videos and pictures of fireworks.
Oh, I have a lot, actually. Remember, I used to go to that house party that I told you is like famous for towns over in my neighborhood.
Yep.
And the fireworks are more intense than the city fireworks, and they last twice as long.
Yeah, I know. You've told me several times, but I'm just curious.
Yeah.
All those videos and pictures that you took of fireworks, right? How often are you like, let me go watch those on my phone?
Well, it's not very often.
Oh, okay.
I go to delete things, like it's, you know, it's hard for me to delete them.
Okay. Why?
I have no idea.
Okay.
There's that video right now.
See?
Because I remember what an awesome party. Look at that display.
Raven.
I mean, it's amazing.
But that's what I don't understand is why do people take videos and pictures of fireworks? And, like, they always post them on social media. And I think to myself, you know, you seen one fireworks display, you kind of seen them all. And even now you're bragging about how good that is. You know what I think?
Mm.
It looks like every other fireworks display I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's hurtful. But if you were sitting there, I believe that you would have a different feeling, right? So I keep it for a memory for myself to remember that time. But I get what you're saying. I mean, it's not like I'm going to YouTube and I'm watching fireworks displays.
Like who Googles, let me rewatch the Macy's 4th of July spectacular fireworks for production?
I'm not sure who would do that.
And you, and even you admit that you never really watched that. You were so excited to show me, but when was the last time that out of the joy of your heart,
yes,
you pulled up that video just to watch it?
Probably last 4th of July.
Right.
Right. When there were no displays going on anywhere due to COVID.
Whatsoever. You're like, you know what? We'll just stream it from my phone
from
last year.
How do I get it to go on the TV? Here we go.
I was at a fireworks display this past weekend, and I was excited to be at one because, you know, a lot of them aren't happening and whatever. You know, it's nice to be able to do that again. And the people in front of me holding up their phones the entire time. And I was like, you're watching the fireworks through a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And for what? You're never going to rewatch. This is one of those things that you just have to soak in the memory and just enjoy the experience. And then you move on with your life. You go home, maybe the diner, get some ice cream.
I feel the same way about concerts. When you see somebody holding up their phone the entire concert, they're watching the show through their phone. And it's like, I get it. You want to prove that you were there. And I guess you want to take that video and share it online or whatever, I guess. But how often are you truly watching it? And don't you feel like when you're watching it, bittersweet about it? You're like, wow, I wish I was there. Oh, wait, I was.
And the thing is, your seats are usually pretty bad anyway. So you're like all the way zoomed in to the point where the artist is so blurry, they're unrecognizable.
Right,
or like, you're filming the screens above their head and then you're not even actually filming them.
And they look like Roblox, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Just put the phone down. Let's enjoy the moment for a second, right?
Do you want to watch my fireworks display or
I
not?
I don't. Can I delete it off your phone?
Right after that, my buddy eats the eyeball of the pig from the pig roast. You want to see that one?
That I want to see. What happened in the elevator? 1-800-330-9999. A few days ago, it came up that this teenager got stuck in a dressing room. So you called to, you know, tell us where you got stuck. And so many people called with elevator stories. Now, Raven, I don't know if you know this, but the odds of actually getting stuck in an elevator, 1 in every 100,000.
Wow. I mean, that sounds bigger than it would be because, I mean, it happens here in this building pretty frequently, actually.
Right. Well,
we've
got some
shoddy elevators.
Yeah.
Right.
I've got some good news, though. The biggest myth about riding in an elevator and getting stuck is that you'll plummet to your death and that the cable wire will snap.
Yeah.
Turns out that's not true. It's really only been recorded twice that the cable wire has snapped. Both times in the Empire State Building, both people survived.
Wow.
Isn't that good news?
Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh.
I mean, I saw Speed, all right?
Yeah.
And so things didn't go well. And I seem to remember somewhat recently somebody got stuck in the side of a freight elevator inside their building and people heard them screaming to their death.
Oh,
so
that's
I
not
mean,
real.
No,
that's
that really
real.
Happened.
Oh,
no, I'll send you that story.
Oh, well, all right.
Yeah, that happened.
The number one thing you can do from prevent getting stuck in an elevator is, you know, like when the door opens and there's about 17 million people in there and you squeeze yourself in?
Yeah, just wait for the next one.
Well, yeah, because the overstuffed elevator, there's weight sensors on it, and that's like it'll get stuck because it'll have too much weight and you won't be able to move. And now you're stuck on an elevator with 1,700 other people.
Sure.
Longest somebody's ever been stuck on an elevator, one guy in 1999, he was working at Rockefeller Center in Manhattan, got stuck for 41 hours.
Just make sure you hand me sandwiches.
He had nothing.
And maybe a work nothing. Bucket or something like that, because I'm going to need to do my business at some point.
And you know how they have like the escape hatch in like in all the movies? That's sure. how they get out and that's how they get away from the bad guy. They say the number one thing you're not supposed to do if you get stuck in an elevator is open the emergency hatch. You're supposed to wait for assistance.
I mean, unless I'm some sort of hero, mm-hmm. right? And then I've been trained in doing heroic type things. But not always bad things happen in elevators. It's not just about being stuck in elevators,
well,
Anna.
Well, right, because weird things happen all the time in elevators. Anything strange ever happened to you?
There was that time that Hillary Duff fell in love with me. In the elevator.
Here we go.
She was like, let's take this selfie. Oh, my God. You should have brought your puppy today. It would have been so cool to hang out with. And she was like close and giggling at my jokes and stuff. It was really nice.
Raven believes that every female actress or artist that he thinks is pretty that comes into the studio is immediately in love with him.
No, she leaned into my general space, my personal space, and was like, let's take this
on
photo.
The elevator?
On the elevator. And then she was like, where's your dog? Is that your dog? I showed the dog on the phone. And she's like, oh, my God. He's mm-hmm. so cute. I could have done that all day. And I was like, I get what you're saying, Hillary. I get what you're saying.
Uh-huh. I wish I was there to witness this. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, what happened in the elevator?
Hi. I got on the elevator with my company CEO, and I was trying to make conversation. And then he must have passed gas because there was a terrible smell. I tried to play it off like everything was normal, but he didn't even blink an eye. I thought it was like a test to see what I would do.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? What do you do in that situation? You just have to pretend
start
like that.
Sweating.
You know that feeling too when you're in a situation like that where you're like you have to pretend like it's not happening and you can't react and you have to act completely normal and put together.
That's like at least three video shoots we've done before.
Yes.
Right. It's at least three of those, right?
How about when Solange basically attacked Jay-Z in the elevator while Beyonce stood there motionless? Remember watching that?
Well, I remember everybody talking about after about why would Solange go ahead and attack Jay-Z? Why would she do it? And then we all have to listen to Beyonce's records after that for the clues.
Yeah, Lemonade was great, though. That was great.
It's not always bad things that happen in the elevator, though. Sometimes good things happen, too.
Right, absolutely. But let me tell you, when you're stuck in an elevator or you have a situation happen in an elevator, it's uncomfortable because it is a tight space and you're trapped. What happened to you in the elevator? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
Well, once I was on an elevator at a new mall, just as it opened, and the place was packed. And it's one of those elevators that's glass so everyone can see outside and inside. Yeah, so it got stuck in between floors, and everyone's just kind of gathered around watching the six of us in it like we're in a zoo.
I've seen this happen before, actually.
Yeah. Me too. I think like this happens at every mall all the time. I've seen this happen at least twice.
So what happened?
Well, it still took them 45 minutes for the fire department to come in. I mean, the worst part is, like, every single one of us had to go to the bathroom, like, the whole time.
Right. Right. Well, you just leave the food court, man.
Yeah.
Those Orange Juliuses, they go right through you. All right? I mean, come on.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened on the elevator?
Oh, I just got caught in one of those uncomfortable elevator rides where the couple was already in there and clearly making out or something. Because when the door opened, they, like, jumped apart. Get in, and it was just that awkward silence the whole way.
And you know that they're looking like at the back of your head, and if they're not still making out right at that moment, like they're thinking about it.
They're waiting for you to get off
yes,
that elevator.
Yeah, no, you're right. That is an awkward moment.
Yeah.
Know?
Can I tell you something? Every time I'm in an elevator by myself with my husband, right?
Yeah.
I immediately kiss him.
What?
I don't know why. Not in like a really overly inappropriate way, just because
yeah.
he thinks it's
just
funny.
Slightly.
It's funny. Like we're in an elevator. It's really corny, right?
That's
how we keep the magic alive after all these years.
That's it. You ride elevators.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What happened on the elevator?
I was going up an elevator one time when someone next to me started choking on gum. I mean, I panicked because I don't know the Heimlich maneuver, and luckily the other person in there did and helped the woman. I mean, it was crazy scary. I just stood there the whole time asking if there was anything I could do.
Wow.
Oh gosh.
Choking is scary, man.
Yeah.
And then you're in that tin box riding up all those floors. You're terrified. Are we going to get it there in time?
Yeah.
What do we do? Yeah, I'm
pushing
with you.
Pushing all the buttons, just like trying to figure out what to do.
Scary moment, right?
I don't actually believe when it has like that alarm button at the bottom. I don't think it actually rings anywhere. Like, who's sitting in a room somewhere waiting for the alarm bell to ring on the elevator?
Besides Keanu Reeves, nobody.
No one.
Nobody whatsoever.
Yep.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. Negative self-talk. I never actually knew that there was a terminology for what I did in my head.
This you mean a term?
A term. Yeah. So negative self-talk is when you put yourself down about certain things that you do and you tell yourself you're not good at it or that you will never succeed at something.
Self-loathing. I mean, it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, but I thought, but when you actually say things to yourself over and over, okay. Is there anything that you will say to yourself that's negative self-talk?
You know, when I am thinking about something that I've done, a mistake that I've made in my mind, and it's truly embarrassing to me, and like it still makes me cringe after time. I mean, it could be something that happened years ago. I'll usually sing awkwardly about how I'm stupid.
Okay.
I'll be like, I'm stupid. I'm so stupid. And then I'll forget it. My wife will be like, what's going on there in the other room? I'll be like, nothing. I'm just remembering something stupid that I did at some point.
For me, it's always my weight. It's always because my weight is yo-yo since I was a kid. Mm. When I'm heavy, I'm depressed. And when I'm thin, then I feel good. And
I know
I'm
you
never
yell at
enough.
Yourself when you work out.
I yell at myself all the time that I'm lazy and that I have... I mean, it is ridiculous, but negative self-talk is associated with higher levels of stress and depression, which shouldn't come as a surprise, but turns out there's a magic word that can try to help that.
Okay.
How do you stop beating yourself up and replace this negative self-talk? You can do so using the magical words abracadabra. Abracadabra.
Wait a minute. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right now. Okay. Seriously.
No, it gets deeper. It gets deeper. Ready?
You know, the word abracadabra is derived from an Aramaic phrase that means I create as I speak.
Did you know that?
So?
Listen. See where he's going with this. See where he's going.
Okay, all right.
As a memory aid, I want you to remember the first four letters, ABRA. A-B-R-A. The A stands for acknowledge. Acknowledge that it's there. Don't resist it. Remember, what you resist persists.
I mean, he had me the first few words, but then he...
So acknowledge, you have to acknowledge that, yes, I do this, it's not okay, but I'm going to allow myself to do it and understand it and accept it. And then...
Okay.
The B in ABRA stands for breathe. Breathe. Take a breath now.
So when you find yourself doing this, you realize it, okay, I'm doing this negative self-talk.
Yeah.
You take that big breath in... Take that big breath out. This is what I'm doing to myself. And then you...
The R is release. Release what you do not want. You can't lead a positive life with a negative mind.
I get that.
All right.
But we still have one more A. What does that mean?
And finally, the last A is align. Use your imagination and create a new phrase or a new belief that is more aligned with really who you are and what you really want. Do this and you will unleash the magic of your brain.
I just feel like this is a guy who's truly actually a magician and he's just trying to push some sort of magic video or home kit, right?
When I read that there was one magic word that would help get rid of your self-talk, hate, and all that, I was like, great! And then I was like, abracadabra. And then I just started saying it. I'm like, abracadabra. And then I'm like, nope, no, that didn't work. But I guess you just have to release and, you know, all that stuff.
Sounds like a bunch of hocus pocus
to
me.
I guess so. But you shouldn't do it because it makes you depressed and sad. And we all know that.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Listen, if you go to the grocery store with an expired coupon, then you make a scene when the cashier won't honor it because it expired, that's all I need to know about you. Thanks for holding up the line, lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
How good is that coupon, though?
Oh.
I mean, I'm going to give it a shot.
Raven's that guy.
Yeah, but I'm not the fighter. See, that's the thing is, once they say no, I'll walk away. But I might ask.
Yeah, well,
she did it. I might ask. When it's a self-checkout, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to try and scan it.
My sister-in-law was that girl. She would constantly, like, she would return things that were, like, 6 years old. She would get them to take coupons.
Yeah.
They've been expired for 5 months.
Yeah.
She would come up. She'd go online.
Listen to him,
email the boss at, like, Procter & Gamble. Like, I don't even know what she would be doing. She would figure it out. And every single time, I was always embarrassed. I'm like, I'll be in the car, Jess.
You know, you got those people, they get it. Nine times out of ten, they'll get it.
100%.
There was one time that we returned a vacuum that was like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the same box. I mean, they hadn't really changed the vacuum. You were like, oh, my God, this is incredible. It feels wrong, but at the same time, it's kind of incredible.
But you know you're holding up the whole line by doing that. That's all I need to know
about
you. But
you got to dig in. That's the thing, too. The cashier, like, you're defending it like it's your 30 cents. Like, that 30 cents is coming back into your account, and it's not. Just
I
let
always
it go.
Feel guilty about it. I always, like, if I have coupons and, like, they have to call people over, I'm always look at the person behind me and I mouth. I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, right.
Yeah.
Sorry that Lysol's made this difficult for me to get this, but I'm going to get this 30 cents. If you're the person that acts completely different with different groups of people, that's all I need to know about you. So I went to a party over the weekend. I went to a couple parties over the weekend, actually, as a matter of fact. And one of my buddies, I love this guy. You know, I mean, he's always good with me. We get along great. But, you know, he does engage with some other people, I would say, in conversations that can be a little bit contentious. And what happened was, is I'm watching him with these groups of people, and he was being a chameleon at this party. At every group that he sat down with different people, he would act a different way.
Mm-hmm.
There was different conversations and things like that. Now, I couldn't decide whether or not it was skillful or outright deceitful, basically. I mean, he's misrepresenting kind of stuff that he talks about all the time with others. It was strange to me.
You know, I'm going to get a little deep for a second because I have a friend of mine who I'll be honest with you. I didn't like her.
Yeah.
I didn't like her for a long time.
Sure.
I just thought she was very showy and there was a lot of things about her that like weren't really part of my personality, but we kind of hung out in the same group. And one of my girlfriends, Rita, said, you know, Anna, you got to give her a chance and hang out with her one-on-one. And I was like, come on. When I hung out with her one-on-one, she was so cool and down to earth. And I realized that a lot of, like, when we were in a group, it was insecurity trying to fit in.
So do you view her now as a faker amongst other groups or just awkward in those situations?
I think just awkward in those situations. And it changed the way I thought about her a lot. And I thought it's like, you know, it's one of those things where she was just insecure and she felt like she had to put on a face for other people. And now I would consider her a good friend.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to watch when people are doing that.
Right. No, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Got room for one more if you still want to go to Aspen.
Where did you find that?
Some kid back in town traded the van for it straight up. I can get 70 miles to the gallon on this hog.
Seems like quite a road trip.
It is a road trip. If you're a fan of the 1994 movie Dumb and Dumber, get excited because these two guys, they decided they wanted to reenact the scene where they got on a mini bike and they took a road trip. And that's exactly what they did. Here's what it sounded like when they started.
Aspen or bust! That was the peak of the excitement right there. It was taking off. This is going to be a really long trip.
It was a really long trip. They got pulled over a billion times. They actually recreated the exact mini bike that they used in the movie. Then they had a bunch of repairs. One guy actually wet his pants, just like in the movie. And then this happened at the end.
3 days of riding, 382 miles, 2.5 rear tires, 7 gallons of gas. Based on our research, that's what it would have taken for Harry and Lloyd to get all the way to Aspen.
I'm all for realism, all right? And I've definitely been inspired by film before, but the urination I probably could have done without.
Well, right.
I mean, did they hit a bump and that happened by accident? And they were just like, let's do it, man. We've come all this way here. It is awfully cold.
Well, if you're going to go for it, if you're going to reenact a scene from a movie, or it's going to inspire you to do something. You got to go 100 at that point, right?
I guess so, really. Mm-hmm. What have you done that's been inspired by film before?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it because, and you can call 1-800-330-9999. What did you see in a movie that inspired you in real life? But for me, it's always been two major things. Like, dance battles.
All right, everybody. We decided to take it to the streets.
You got served.
Do you ever actually take it to the streets, or you just take it wherever you are?
Wherever
like
we are.
Yeah,
really,
if you're in a
like
living room.
The streets, right.
A club. You know, it's some sort of hall that has a floor.
So a lot of my girlfriends, like, we're all Zumba people. We're Zumba instructors. So, like, it is common.
For a dance battle to settle everything?
All the time.
Right.
All the time. Like, if we're together and we're out and we start doing something, we're like, dance battle. Let's go. You gotta serve.
Is it like all decisions? Is it big things though? It's like what we're gonna do today, or you know, I disagree with you about something large, or who gets to pick lunch? Is it all those things?
Listen, anytime there's a dance battle that can happen, pop up, we do that. And then the other thing too is that I watch a lot of those nature shows.
Yeah.
And then I want to go to those places on vacation, and I want to go visit those places
and act like you're deep and cultured, right? At Galapagos, you want to be like, you know, cuddling a turtle.
Yeah.
You know,
all the time.
Hanging out with a seafaring iguana.
I just watched the Disney Channel did the whole series on different whales.
Okay.
Now I have a list of whales that I have to go find in the world. It's a lot of whales that I'm going to visit.
Sounds like a lot of work, too. Yeah.
How about you?
When I was younger, young and dumb, I used to surf sometimes on the top of friends' vehicles like they did in Teen Wolf, which was definitely a bad idea. Mm-hmm. I would not suggest doing that. And I would definitely talk to your kids about not doing that. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in my 20s, I remember, so me and my friends, we went on a trip to Philly. We were going to see a game. We ate the cheesesteaks. We did all those things. But, of course, we ran the rocky steps at the Museum of Art.
Yes.
Which, I mean, we didn't run the whole way. Like, some of us, I think one of us might have made it the whole way up the stairs. I was not that guy. I made it, like, halfway up the stairs.
How do you give up halfway through when you're reacting?
Oh, it's tired, man. It's tired. And you know why Rocky goes 12, 15 rounds. But then after, as a challenge, it was the day after going out that night, too, we had to drink the raw egg. And then promptly, like, three people threw up.
Okay.
Right there. Yeah. So that happened. So it's not always great to be inspired by film, but sometimes it's really awesome.
What did you see in a movie? Then you reenacted it in real life. 1-800-330-9999. Two guys have successfully completed a road trip on a mini bike from Nebraska to Aspen, just like Lloyd and Harry did in the 1994 movie Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, it worked out almost exactly the same, except they got a little bit less gas mileage.
Yep. What did you see in a movie? And then you did it in real life. Hey, it's Ian on Raven.
Well, I grew up loving the movie Goonies, and I was like, I want to find this beach. I want to go to it. I mean, it just looks really cool, and how cool would it be to, like, take a picture and send that out to everyone? So I found it, Google mapped it for the drive, and we went. It was great.
Cannon Beach, right? I mean, that's a famous beach in Oregon.
Tons of people there. Everybody wants to take pictures, and inevitably, every 5 minutes or so, you hear somebody yelling out, "There you go!"
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely Goonies attraction.
Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What did you do that was inspired by a movie?
I didn't, but these guys from college, let's just say, they did something similar to the American Pie movie with the scary pie.
Oh,
with the pie? I mean, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I mean, disgusting. It's a good way to get burnt. I mean, the inside of a pie stays warm for a really long time.
I feel like you would let the pie cool before you.
If you say so.
I can't confirm how hot the pie was when it happened.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I do know that it did.
Yeah. No, that's good. We're good, Beth. Hi, Tiana and Raven. Have you ever done anything that was inspired by a movie?
Yes. My girlfriend and I, at the time, saw Last of the Mohicans, and we went to Chimney Rock Park in North Carolina and ran the trail that they ran at the end of the movie. And we got into a heck of a lot of trouble because you're not supposed to run on a mountainside.
No kidding. Did you have a ponytail like Daniel Day-Lewis is flowing in that movie?
No, I was balding.
Oh, okay. Well, slightly different experience, but I'm sure you were glistening in the sun regardless. Right.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Have you ever done anything that was inspired by a movie?
I don't know if it's good enough, but okay. So sometimes I wear leg warmers lately. Well, not now because it's boiling hot, but in the winter I wear leg warmers, and I haven't worn them since, I don't know, the 80s. And it makes me feel like I'm in Flashdance.
Of course.
And then every now and then when I remember that I have them on, I get suddenly inspired to do, like, tourjetés and leaps, even though I'm not a dancer.
Oh, I get it. J-Lo's movie Hustler, she brought back out the Juicy Velour jumpsuit. Mm. She had it on in one of the scenes. And I've just been waiting to go get it out of my
dresser. Thought you were inspired to be a dancer.
Oh, no. I immediately went and put my Juicy Velour sweatshirt back on. And I was like, yep, I've been waiting for this 1994. Let's go.
And Raven, what did you do that was inspired by film?
Well, my friend and I decided that we were going to do some flash dancing. I got hurt right away, and then she was bad. She looked like somebody who was trying to keep her balance on a slip and slide. It was all bad.
So wait a minute. So when you say you tried to reenact flash dancers, we're talking about the bucket of water. Is that what we're talking about crashing down on you?
No. We're talking about, like, ballet thing that she did for that group, that group of people.
Right. Yeah, nobody wanted to be a welder. Nobody was inspired to be a welder from Flash Dance.
Okay. Nope, none of that.
Oh, my girlfriend Colleen, we would do this all the time. We lived in the same town. I was in college. And whenever we had a couple too many cocktails, right? Sure. I would go up to the second floor with a giant bucket of water, and she would reenact the flash dance scene, and then I would dump the water from the second floor down to her. Remember when we reenacted me and you dirty dancing at that event when you tried to lift me and we both fell?
Barely.
And then they said that we weren't allowed to drink at events anymore. Yeah. It started by my daughter, who's in sixth grade, telling me that they've been playing a lot of pickleball at school. Then I went to a sports store, and I saw they had, like, pickleball racket things. And then I read this article about how pickleball is a new thing that seniors are doing to stay in shape. And I said, wait a minute. What is pickleball?
Right. Kids like it. Seniors like it. Is this the sport that we should be training for right now? Because you know I'm always down to be a big sports star millionaire.
Hannah Johns is the head of content for the Professional Pickleball Association. Hannah, how long has pickleball been around?
It's actually been around since 1965, which surprises a lot of people. It was created by a family out in Seattle as a way to keep their kids out of the house and active while they were on vacation.
But what is pickleball?
So it's basically a wiffle ball, and we call them paddles, and they're about a foot and a half long. And the tennis court, well, it's not a tennis court. It's between a ping pong court and a tennis court. And there's an area in front of the net that you can't go into that's called the kitchen, and that basically levels the playing field. And you rally together, much like tennis, play up to 11. You can only score on your serve, which is kind of a cool aspect of pickleball.
Hannah, you know, you sound very official, and I know that you've got a big title, and there's an association tacked on to the end of the title of the league. So, I mean, it again, sounds like it has the utmost upstanding situation. However, it sounds like you put together a game with all the stuff that you had left over from other games in your garage. Is that the beginning root cause of pickleball? Like, is that what's happening here? Did you just recycle everything and we're like, all right, this game seems awesome. Let's do this.
Right. Yeah, it is. A pickleball is an amalgam of a bunch of different sports, which I think it shows that, you know, a family who had different things in their garage essentially pulled it all together and made it work in the backyard. But somehow it became this wildly addictive sport. Mainly people think because it's so easy to learn.
Is it easy, though? Because I'm not good at ping pong or tennis.
Or coordination.
Right.
I will say it is easier than both of those sports.
Okay.
Well, I do like the sound of that.
Yeah. Is there pickleball in the Olympics?
Not yet.
What do you wear when you play pickleball?
Mainly people wear tennis-style gear, little skirts for the women, tank tops, leggings, anything tight clothing-wise so that it doesn't get in the way while you're playing.
It's tennis for lazy people.
Yeah. That's we can dress like Serena and Venus.
Right, exactly.
Cool.
Really tight clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Been looking for an excuse. That spandex has just been taking up space in my closet.
And there's only 5 rules for pickleball, right? That's it?
No, there's a full manual, Anna. It's a real sport. They put association on there. Are you serious?
I don't know. I Googled pickleball and it says there's 5 rules of pickleball.
Oh, you got fooled by the internet.
I did.
Was it a shark swimming up a highway that told you that?
I don't know. Hannah, if people want to learn more about pickleball, where do they go?
Well, there's a couple of different places you can go, but of course, we are the PPA, as you mentioned, the Professional Pickleball Association. We are the premier tour for both pro players and amateur players. We have, of course, our website, our social media, and we encourage people to get on there and check it out, what it's all about.
One last question, and you tell me if I'm out of bounds for asking this. How much do professional pickleball players make?
At the top, they're making very good money. The number one player in the sport, Ben Johns, recently said on an interview with CBS that he'll probably clear about $250,000 this year.
Well, just get ready to sell the space on your forehead for a tattoo artist, all right, Anna?
Right. No, 100%. Are you kidding me? $250,000 a year to play pickleball? Like, I'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. I have a feeling it's harder than I think it's going to be. But if you want to check it out online, ppatour.com. Hannah Johns, thank you so much for talking to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is such a ridiculous thing to ask because I think this is a problem that only I have. But Raven, when you're filling out like a form, like I've been filling out a lot of camp forms, school forms, you know, and it says, what is your job title, your occupation? What do you write down?
Oh, I write broadcasting. A broadcaster or broadcasting.
Oh, see, I never
sometimes
write
I'll
that.
Write media. Sometimes I'll write that, but that's what I write. What do you write?
I write radio show host.
Radio show host.
And it feels so stupid writing that.
It feels a little bit that's weird, right?
I don't know.
Like, I never write on-air person.
Well, turns out that Indeed.com, which is one of the major leaders when it comes to finding jobs, they say that having creative job titles is more important than ever. So, like, you can't just say you're, like, an accountant. Okay. Now you have to be a, hold on, what do they call accountants? Number ninja.
Oh, I do like that. Mm. That does sound cool because accountant has always kind of been one of those ones when somebody says it, you're like, wah, wah. Mm. Whereas number ninja sounds like, wow, sexy, cool accountant.
Well, that's exactly why they're saying that you should do this now. The advantages of having a really kind of funky, cool new job title is it allows companies to express their creativity and it encourages employees to think imaginatively about their daily work.
Oh, well, I definitely got to work astronaut into my title at some point then, I'm guessing.
The disadvantage, which is the obvious one, I think, is that it causes confusion. You're like, what the heck is a number ninja? Oh, you're an accountant?
I told you, I did get some emails from other people that are in the company, and they're not in this office, but I get these creative titles back, and I'm always confused. I'm like, wait a minute. What is actually their job? Do they work with unicorns? Because that's confusing to me.
So these are the alternate job titles that Indeed.com has suggested that you use. Raven, okay. I'm going to tell you the title, how much money they make, that, like, the national average salary, and then you're going to guess what the job actually is.
Oh,
ready?
I love a game. Let's do it.
Okay, Chief Beverage Officer.
Chief Beverage Officer is the guy who stocks the soda machine in your vending your vending machine in the break room. How about?
Well, it's the bartender. Yeah, you're kind of on the right track, I guess. And they make nationally average $24,398.
Did you just call a bartender the same as the vending machine stocking guy?
I mean,
it's not the same.
They refill the drinks.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm going to fail myself on that one.
The national average salary of the boss of all things is $109,000. What is the boss of all things?
Boss of all things got to be like the CEO, right?
100% right.
Oh, yep. Look at me go.
Yep. The king of the nerds. National average salary, $33,030.
King of the nerds.
What is the king of the nerds as a job title?
King of the nerds. Is that the IT guy?
Yeah, tech support.
Oh, look at me go again. Wow, is that all the IT guy is making? Because no wonder he's ripping off the rest of our passwords and getting into our bank accounts.
First impressions director, national average salary, $27,997 for first impressions director.
How much was the salary?
Almost 28 grand.
It's like the person who does the press conference. It's like the PR person.
Nope.
No?
The receptionist.
I can't be right all the time.
The receptionist is the first impressions
director. Let's get that person a raise. Mm. Let's get that. I mean, it's a first impression. Think about what you're saying.
The healer of magical creatures, annual salary, about $97,000.
That's got to be the vet.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I love my fur babies.
How about the Potion Master? The Potion Master has a national average salary of $116,281.
Potion Master, is that some guy that's now brewing his own beer?
No, it's a pharmacist.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, I don't like to think of medicines as potions nowadays. They're not magic. It's supposed to be based in science, but that's me.
So what should we rename our title so that we sound cool and I know what to fill out on the forms?
I've been working on this the entire time. How about incredibly good-looking but humble radio wave assassins?
Done.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Jared and Maureen. Maureen, what's going on?
Well, so we're trying to replace our windows in our house, and we have an HOA at our place, and they said we have to use approved windows, like a certain kind of window.
Yeah, that's pretty standard, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure if it is. My husband found windows that are a lot cheaper, and he wants to just completely ignore the HOA and just put them in. But I don't know. I just think we're asking for trouble. We're probably going to get fined or something, or what if we have to take them out? I don't know.
Jared, what's your side of this? What's going on?
Well, I mean, I went to a local vendor, shopped local, and found windows that are better than the windows the HOA is recommending. They incubate better. They keep the heat in when you want it in. They keep the cold in when you want it in. And their response has been absolutely not. You have to go with our vendor, who, interestingly enough, is on their board. So it's, you know, very clear to me that this is an inside job. Mm. And it's $1,250 more for the windows. And it's just ridiculous.
Do you have, I remember from my years living in a condo complex, do you have like a booklet that says you have to use certain vendors? Because I remember that thing was like the Bible. Whatever it said, those were the rules and you had to go by it.
Yes. Yes. We have a Bible that's probably about 1,300 pages long.
Right. And of course, you signed it when you moved in and all that stuff. This is the thing that drives me crazy about HOAs. And it definitely affected my decisions when it came to buying a house, because they do put a lot of rules on there. And, you know, at first when you're buying a place, you're like, oh, the whole neighborhood's beautiful. This seems like a great idea. But then when you get into it with these details, you know, it can be bothersome. You want to go ahead and pick your own stuff. But the window's got to look a certain way, Anna. And if they've been doing it this way for years, they like the way they do it and all that. You know, it's hard to get things to change. You're not going to join the board or anything like that over the next few weeks and get this all, you know, changed, the bylaw changed, right? So it's either you go for these windows against what they've advised you, against what they've required of you, or you, you know, bite the bullet basically and go with their vendor.
I'll tell you this, we would get fined. And that was no joke. Those fines were no joke. And mm-hmm. A neighbor had put in an unapproved door. And I remember they had to have the door removed. They were not allowed to sell the unit with that door.
Yeah, it's crazy. They can hold you up there, right? They'll put a lien against the house.
Yeah, whose side are you on? Do you go against the HOA or do you just do what they say? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Jared and Maureen live in a condo complex, so they have an HOA. Now, they need to put new windows in on their condo. The problem is that the HOA has very specific guidelines on who they have to use and which windows they have to get. Jared got a quote that was $1,250 cheaper. He says, you know what? We'll just beg for forgiveness. We're going to use our people. His wife, Maureen, not on board.
Yeah, not only do they have a preferred vendor there in the neighborhood, but that vendor happens to serve on the board of their HOA. So the fact that Jared wants to roll those dice and feel like, you know, we'll just deal with it after, maybe not the brightest situation here. Maybe not the best thought that he could have. I understand you want to fight against the man, Anna, but, you know, you can't stop a tidal wave. You might as well get out of its way.
What would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Good morning. Unfortunately, there only is one side, the wife's side. I just had the same issue, only mine was with a roof. And but they wouldn't even let us put a different color on it. The HOAs are very, very strict, and he will get fined, and it'll cost him a lot more than $1,250 extra.
What we're learning today is that everybody is terrified of the HOA. It wasn't just me. I'm glad to know it wasn't just me in that situation.
There's not one person to stand up to them. Where's the Karate Kid when you need him?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court, Anna and Raven. Jared and Maureen live in a condo complex, and they need to replace their windows. Here's the problem. The HOA is very specific on what kind of windows they could use and the vendor. When Jared went out on his own and got a price quote, he got a price for $1,250 less.
Maureen thinks they have to stick by the rules and go with the vendor that is provided by the neighborhood. But Jared says, no way. These are better windows. It's a better product, and it's going to save us money. Let's just do it and deal with it after.
Do you dare go against the HOA? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna on Raven Couples Court.
Good morning. I hate to say it, I'm on her side. If the place's vendor is on their board, you know there's something fishy going on. And if they get wind of that they went with someone else, that's only going to be problems, unfortunately. So they kind of got it by the short ones here.
I'm with you. It doesn't feel right, Anna. I mean, that's the thing about life, though, right? It doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel right. But that doesn't mean that it's not legal. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to hold you up for it.
I was terrified of my HOA. I mean, I have scars to this day. I will never live in another complex that has one ever again. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Absolutely on the wife's side. I work for attorneys, and I've seen them make people take things out after they install them, plus fine them. So I totally agree with her. They need to do what's in the bylaws.
You know what? I mean, I never thought I would find myself in that situation, but choosing between the HOA and the attorneys, I'm going to lunch with the attorneys.
Yeah.
I hate the HOA.
You're right.
I hate the HOA.
HOA is like the mafia. You can't get away from them. There's nothing
terrible
you can do.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm kind of torn between the two. I understand the wife's point of view of not wanting to go against it, but I can clearly see the husband's side and think maybe if they request, you know, a meeting with the board or the vendor, the HOA, whoever it is, and say, hey, this is what we want to do. It's an upscale from what you offer, and you know, are we able to do this, or you lower your prices down to what we were getting the better windows for and see if that gets them anywhere rather than just going ahead and doing it.
See, now, ma'am, you sound logical, but here's what I've learned. HOA's not logical.
Yeah.
No.
You know what a million HOAs at the bottom of the ocean is? A good start.
It's literally ridiculous.
I mean, it's just the worst lawyer joke I could think of. Okay. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Maureen, our audience agreed with you. If the HOA says that it has to be a certain way, all they're going to do is make your lives hell if you don't follow what they're supposed to do. So you either need to work with them and figure out some kind of solution beforehand. Otherwise, you're just going to basically screw yourself in the end.
Exactly. I'm so glad that that happened because hopefully, Jared, you're going to listen to the audience. That was our deal, that whatever they said.
Well,
it's just time to move. It's just time to move.
I listen, when HOAs get annoying, right, it can definitely sour your feeling on the neighborhood. There's
no
question about it.
Do you remember when I got hit with that $30,000 special assessment fee? That was it. We moved.
Yeah.
That was it. The end of it.
Yeah. Yep. Jared, what I would suggest is this, is that you've got this vendor that's on the board with the windows, right? As you said, it's already a little bit suspect. Go to a board meeting or approach the board and say, listen, I have a quote for less. These are the same windows, if not better. At the very least, force that vendor to match that price or get other people behind you at a meeting.
Raven, have you ever gone to one of those meetings?
I have.
They're literally terrible.
Yes.
And
they are the worst.
We make it sound like it's normal, but it's not.
No, it's definitely not. And I get it. And Jared, I understand. Sometimes $1,200, though, you got to just be like, you know what? It's better than the headache. But I get it. Money's money. And, you know, you want the quality and the choice, too. So maybe that's what I would do, is approach their vendor and say, listen, this is a comparable, better product here for less money. What are you going to do about that?
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Linda, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Linda.
All right. We have $300 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I will bring Raven back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You beat him, you win $300 today. You ready to play?
Ready.
Number one, Jennifer Aniston said that she had no idea the struggles that our co-star Matthew Perry was going through while on the set of Friends. What is the name of the coffee house that they frequently visited on Friends?
Central Park.
Number two, Scarlett Johansson is releasing her own beauty line. She also recently said in an interview that it's bittersweet that she's wrapping up her role as what superhero?
Black Widow.
Number three, The Many Saints of Newark, Sopranos prequel trailer dropped yesterday. What is the name of Tony Soprano's daughter on the show?
I forgot the name. Meadow?
Number four, Serena Williams was devastated when she had to withdraw from Wimbledon after an injury in the first round. Serena's husband, Alexis Ohanian, is the co-founder of what popular social news and discussion website?
Snapchat?
And number five, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden is on the cover of Vogue. Who is the famous editor-in-chief of American Vogue?
Oh, what's her name? Anna...
Time's up.
Something.
All right, that's all right. All right, Linda, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Linda got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Linda. Let's see how I do. $300.
Number one, Jennifer Aniston said that she had no idea the struggles that her co-star Matthew Perry was going through while he was on the set of Friends.
Mm.
What is the name of the coffee house that they frequently visited on Friends?
Central Perk.
Yes.
Yes! Didn't even watch the show!
Number two, Scarlett Johansson is releasing her own beauty line. She also recently said in an interview that it's bittersweet that she's wrapping up her role as what superhero?
She's Black Widow.
Yes. Number three, The Many Saints of Newark, Sopranos prequel trailer dropped yesterday.
Yeah.
What is the name of Tony Soprano's daughter?
Meadow Soprano.
Yes. Number four, Serena Williams was devastated when she had to withdraw from Wimbledon after an injury in the first round. Serena's husband, Alexis Ohanian, is the co-founder of what popular social news and discussion website?
Isn't it Reddit?
Reddit is correct.
Yeah!
Number five, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden is on the cover of Vogue. Who is the famous editor-in-chief of American Vogue?
Isn't it, what's her name? Ellen Wintour? Something Wintour, right?
What's her first name?
Just take a shot and say Helen Wintour.
No, it's Anna Wintour.
Anna Wintour.
Yeah, I got the first name. Mm-hmm. Oh,
so close, though. So close. I was going to call her Butterface. Would that have been acceptable?
No, that is terrible.
Well, that's
Raven.
What somebody's called her, right?
That's not nice.
But people call her that.
Raven, you can't say that. That's
but
not
somebody
nice.
Famous called her that. Like, they're,
oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry, Linda. Raven beat you 4-3 this morning. We will give you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I mean, somebody called her that.
It's Linda. I can't be Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Linda. Hold on. We're going to throw another $100 in the jackpot. Tomorrow morning, same time, your chance of $400. I can't believe you said that. That's so mean.
Hey, listen. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $400 tomorrow, all right? I didn't make up the name. I just said it.
Thank you, Alec. You provided one of the questions that I used today. If you think you have an idea for a great question for Can't Beat Raven, you can submit it at annonraven.com.